Welcome into the Lombardi Line. I'm Brady Cannon along with Wes Reynolds live from the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa. Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher enjoy a day off. And Wes, you and I get to enjoy day two of college basketball month. I figure April is all about the Masters, baseball, and the NFL draft. And certainly college basketball takes center stage in March.
Yeah, the Ides of March are upon us here. March 2nd, and if it's anything like what we saw last night, a lot of exciting games, especially that Bedlam game between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State.
Couple good ones between them.
Yeah, this is an interesting time now. Some teams that have to win, and you know that's baked into the line. Obviously, certain teams know that they have to win to improve their tournament bid status, and obviously playing for conference championship seeds. We got games getting canceled. Certain teams might be it not be in their conference tournament depending on COVID-19. So the wacky season continues.
Well, let's get right into it. We start off with number 3 Baylor at West Virginia. This is a 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern tip, and it's the first game back for the Bears since the loss over the weekend to Kansas, their first loss of the season. It'll be Baylor's just their third time out on the court since February 2nd, and that time off has showed. West Virginia, meanwhile, has won 4 straight. Baylor here, a 4.5-point favorite, West, with a road favorite of 4.5 with a total of 149.
Yeah, I do kind of like West Virginia here. Maybe a little bit more in the first half, actually, than I do for the game. Now's kind of the time of year where I'll try to play a little bit more derivative. And first half would be about 2.5, depending on your shop. Look, I'm a believer that Baylor needs probably maybe even one more game. That would be this game, because they did return last Tuesday. Big favorite against Iowa State. Didn't kind of get ahead of them until the final 10 minutes of the second half, held on, 5-point win, and then the loss at Kansas on Saturday. I'm a believer that they need about a week. Yeah. To kind of get right, and this would be almost right at a week. So maybe this is the game where kind of the last game that they're going to need to get right. And look, West Virginia, they've got a lot to play for here, because Baylor, based on what they've done, even if they lose this game this afternoon at West Virginia, I still think their number one seed is spoken for.
Okay.
I still think that they're a number one seed. They have just too many quality wins. Michigan, obviously, would be a number one, I think, at this point, and obviously Gonzaga. So you got that fourth number one seed for the NCAA tournament that's really up for grabs, and it's like, who's going to get it? We thought Ohio State. Well, then they lost 3 in a row. And then we thought Villanova. Well, they lost to Butler, and Hinkle Fieldhouse kind of been a house of horrors for Villanova. They've lost 4 of the last 5 there in Indy against Butler. So now here comes West Virginia. Take your turn up at bat. And look, 17-6, they have more losses, but you look at their wins. Wins over Texas, wins over Kansas, wins over Texas Tech, actually twice, swept Texas Tech, wins over Oklahoma State, decent non-conference wins against VCU, Richmond, and whatnot. But if you win against Baylor, all of a sudden they're talking maybe number one seed. Maybe you get that fourth number one seed, West Virginia. They're kind of one of the few clubs in the mix for that final one seed. So I do like them at this standpoint, and I think I'm kind of a believer that addition by subtraction happens. Now, they lose a very talented player midseason, Oscar Tshiebwe, who is now transferred to Kentucky. But I think that they've been better without him.
Yeah,
they've been able to space the floor a little bit better and have some room for drivers and shooters and whatnot. So, you know, tough to go against Baylor. Eventually, they're going to get right, but maybe it's not here. I like the first half better in the game. I did half and half, plus 2.5, first half, plus 4.5, and you may even see 5 on this one.
Pretty tough spot for the Baylor Bears to try and get their legs underneath them after all the time off to go to Morgantown to face the 6th-ranked team in the country. Arkansas at South Carolina. This is a 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern start, and Eric Musselman's Razorbacks have really started to become quite a story here since losing to Alabama in January. They've won 9 straight conference games and have ascended to the 12th-ranked team in the country. Now, South Carolina has played spoiler on a few occasions this season, West. The Gamecocks catching 6.5 here at home, looking to pull off another upset this afternoon.
This is one I did take overnight. Now, I got 7 minus $1.20. It's down as low as 6. There's still some 6.5 out there. This is one of those tricky spots for Arkansas that are trickier than meets the eye. South Carolina, by the way, they just broke, I believe, a 6-game losing streak on Saturday, winning big at Georgia 91-70. But now you've got Arkansas riding high here. They've won three. Actually, they've won six in a row. But the last three that they won at home, they beat Florida, they beat Alabama, and they beat LSU. Those are three monster wins because those are three teams that are going to be in the NCAA tournament going forward. So now they've been home for a couple weeks. Now they got to go back on the road. South Carolina, obviously, no great shakes this year. But I think that this is a very tricky spot for the Hogs here on the road. South Carolina, fifth in adjusted tempo. And they're going to be willing to run with these guys. Arkansas likes to get up and down the floor a little bit. South Carolina, I think, will be willing to go ahead and play that pace. And look, South Carolina, like you said, they have played spoiler. They won at Florida back early part of last month. I'm still thinking it's February almost, February 3rd. But I just think that this is a danger spot for Arkansas. It's a little bit of a stinky kind of fishy dog, but I'm going there and taking the Gamecocks.
Big one in the Big Ten, two possible number one seeds. As you mentioned, that fourth spot for the number one seed, probably in limbo. And this is Illinois at Michigan, number four against number two. Now, it would seem that Dosunmu will not suit up for the Illini as he continues to recover from a broken nose. Michigan laying 7 points here in Ann Arbor with a total of 144.5.
Yeah, he has been upgraded to questionable here. So not officially ruled out. And line has moved a little bit to actually a lot to Illinois' way. This was 8.5, 8 this morning. Now I'm seeing it down to 7. Maybe the positive news for Dosunmu is clearly, I think, the mover. And I definitely lean that way with Illinois. If he plays, I think that they're very live here against Michigan. Like you said, Illinois trying to get that number, that fourth number one seed with three of them really spoken for. So if he plays, I think they have a chance. If they don't, they're going to have trouble in terms of just getting enough offense against this Michigan defense that is very good. And just watching Michigan, I keep getting more impressed by them game by game because I think that they take away star players. If you look at what they did at Indiana on Saturday, Trace Jackson Davis, likely to be a first-team All-Big Ten player, just 3 of 12, 10 points. Obviously, their big gun. Hunter Dickinson, who didn't pedestrian offensively, but his defense, Trace Jackson Davis really struggled against his length on Saturday. So Michigan just kind of has it all. They have good young talent like Dickinson and Franz Wagner, but also they have senior guards. The kid Mike Smith, who averaged, I think, around 20 a game for Columbia, fifth-year transfer, maintained his eligibility, and just runs the offense well. And just watching them how smoothly they get into their offense. And it was such a contrast with Indiana on Saturday where everything is like a real slog. And, you know, I'm interested to see how Michigan is going to attack Illinois. This is the first meeting they've had this year with Kofi Coburn, how they're going to make him move around because they're going to want to force Coburn, Illinois 7-footer, to kind of step out and defend.
Right.
They don't want him to just park in the paint, pack line, and be there and get rebounds and be a shot blocker at the rim. They're going to make him want to move around and, you know, kind of set him up in a screen and roll where they can exploit him a little bit out on the floor away from the basket defensively. But line is moving to Illinois. At this point, you know, I think it's positive news for Dosunmu. So you've kind of missed the boat on the best number, but I do lean Illini in this spot.
Ever since Michigan was trailing in the first half to Wisconsin about a month ago or so, it just doesn't seem like they've ever been threatened. And they were off for about 3 weeks before that game. Really looked like a powerhouse, this Michigan club. Auburn at Alabama. Alabama going for the season sweep over rival Auburn, and they still have hopes of a possible number one seed. But Wes, this really has to be, we talk about this sometimes, this has to be Auburn's Super Bowl, or their Iron Bowl, if you will, as they take on their rival Crimson Tide, because they are not eligible for the postseason, the Auburn Tigers. Now, Alabama laying a big number here at home in Tuscaloosa, 11 points with a total of 156.
Sharif Cooper, Auburn star guard, averaging over 20 a game and 8 assists. Doesn't look like he's going to go, downgraded to doubtful, so not officially ruled out, but not likely that he's going to return. But Auburn got a big win on Saturday without him. They did beat Tennessee. Tennessee continues to really struggle to muster any consistent offense, and Auburn got him on Saturday, stopped the bleed. Leading a little bit in terms of a three-game losing streak. Number looks pretty right to me, to be honest with you, at about 11, 11.5-ish type of range. Maybe a small lean to the over because these teams will get up and down. Auburn, you know, I think now that they had Cooper back, because they weren't getting up and down early in the season, then they got him, and then they just started to run a little bit and maybe run a little bit more pressure in the backcourt. But I don't think that they're really slowing down. That's so hard to do that midstream where it's like, okay, we're going to speed it up. Now we're going to slow it down. That's so hard to do with the team's identity in terms of how they want to play. First game between these two teams was on January 9th on the Plains, 94-90 Alabama win. So over would be my lean here. I think the side's about right.
Yeah, it was right around that time. I believe Alabama had just crushed LSU and then got the win at Auburn. When I bet a future on Alabama, got them at 55-1. That number looks pretty good right now. They're down in the neighborhood of 16-20-1 to win it all. Xavier and Georgetown, this is a 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern start. The Musketeers have made their way onto the bubble, and they'll try to build their case onto the right side tonight versus the Hoyas. Xavier upset Creighton over the weekend, and that was a big step that they took towards the postseason. Tonight in D.C., they're 2.5-point favorites against Georgetown with a total of 148.
Depending on which bracketology that you read, that win over Creighton on Saturday may have put them on the good side into the NCAA tournament.
And this could be dangerous here, though.
Yeah,
you know?
and that's where I'm going. If you look on Saturday when they finally beat Creighton, because Xavier had been a quality team but really didn't have that standout win against kind of a top 10 or top 20 team. They finally got it against Creighton, and boy, did they know it. Because at the end of the game, this was like they clinched the Big East championship or something, and they haven't. 13-5, 6-5 on the season. They are not getting Villanova. It just happened to work that way with the COVID and all the cancellations and schedule adjustments. They didn't get Villanova this year, so that would have been their biggest opportunity for a marquee win. So, but they did get Creighton on Saturday, and they knew it. Now you're going to Georgetown on the road, and I talked about this a little bit on Follow the Money this morning. And when you know, okay, hey, we're in the tournament, you know, we're in now, because these kids know. You know, they say that they don't read all this stuff or they don't hear the chatter, but you can only have earmuffs so much. You're going to hear about it from somebody. So now they go to Georgetown. This is a Georgetown team that's 8-11, but has knocked off some teams in the Big East.
They kind of been like South Carolina,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they won at Creighton. They beat Providence at home. They beat Seton Hall at home. They've beaten St. John's. So Georgetown and Patrick Ewing, you guys have beat quality teams. I'd want to get three here, and if I do get that three or able to, if I have to buy it up, I will go ahead and do so. But I like the Hoyas here. I think this is a very tricky spot for Xavier, and kind of low-hanging fruit with them only laying 2.5. Line has gone up from 1, 1.5. I think we probably will see threes pop at some point, and give me the Hoyas in that spot.
Here's one close to home for you. Indiana at Michigan State, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Two bubble teams facing off in East Lansing. Now, the Spartans got past the Hoosiers in Bloomington last month, and both teams are coming off of losses over the weekend. The Spartans are favored here by 3 with a total of 135.
Brady, I know our colleague and buddy Matt Humans hates when I do the wrestling talk here on VSiN, but follow me here. I'm going to go with an analogy. If you recall, if you watched some 1980s pro wrestling, it was territory-based, like a town or a region. And what they would do when one of the wrestlers was leaving the territory, now the fans didn't know it, they were playing kayfabe, they would do what's called the loser leaves town match. Yeah. And the loser is going to move on to the other territory and can't wrestle in whatever city, Memphis or Atlanta or wherever again. That's essentially what this is with Indiana and Michigan State. This is losers not going to have a chance to go to the NCAA tournament. Loser leave town essentially here, unless they can put together a couple wins in Indianapolis in the Big Ten tournament, and might need more than a couple, might need 3 or 4. Both of these teams are kind of in that next four out type of scenario right now with Indiana and Michigan State. And you know, Michigan State certainly has been more right than Indiana of late. They did lose at Maryland, but two big wins late in the season put them back on the bubble with a big win over Ohio State, big win over Illinois. Indiana has now lost three in a row, 500, 12 and 12, 7 and 10 in conference play. Go back a couple weeks ago on the 20th of February. Indiana did have a double-digit lead on these guys early. You look at what their front court did, Trace Jackson Davis and Race Thompson, 49 points and 15 rebounds between them. Problem for Indiana is only one guard made a shot for Indiana, and that was Armon Franklin, and he's not going to go tonight. Not likely until the Big Ten tournament because he has an ankle injury. But I did take Indiana plus 3.5 here. I think this is kind of the game where maybe you get these other guards, Al Durham, Rob Finnessy, Christian Lander, the young freshman, to kind of step up and make some shots. Michigan State got dominated in the paint in the first game. So, you know, don't want to necessarily bury the lead here. But I did take 3.5. It's now down to 2.5, some threes in the market. This is the spot Indiana has traditionally shown up in the last couple of years, where when you lose all hope with these guys, that's when they win. And maybe this is the spot here. Very tight here, but Michigan State has gotten better once Tom Izzo has moved Josh Langford to the point position.
Huge card in college basketball for your Tuesday. We've got a few more to get to here as we kick off the Lombardi line. Duke and Georgia Tech, a couple of bubble teams involved later today. Also Memphis. The Tigers have won five in a row trying to get themselves into the tournament. We'll be right back. It's the Lombardi line here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Indeed believes less is more, so they have screening tools to help you narrow down your list of candidates, and you only pay for the applicants you need. Deal? Visit Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you on a Tuesday covering a massive college basketball card. Was going to be a great night in college hoops as we get towards conference tournaments and, of course, the big dance, which will tip off on March 18th. Duke at Georgia Tech, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. start here. And this is yet another matchup featuring two bubble teams, Wes, this time out of the ACC. Duke lost in overtime to Louisville over the weekend while the Yellow Jackets pulled off of a good win over Syracuse. And this is a revenge spot for Georgia Tech. They fell to the Blue Devils back in January, 75-68. Georgia Tech opened as a one-point favorite here. They're now up to 1.5 with a total of 146.
Yeah, I don't know if this is quite loser leave town like Indiana, Michigan
State. Maybe for Duke.
But it is a loser going to be in big damn trouble if they don't get this win. And look, Duke was on a roll. I went against them Saturday. Louisville did get the win. Mark Williams, one of their big guys, just had absences for long stretches, and Louisville got the win in overtime. You've got a dribble drive, kind of modified Princeton offense that Georgia Tech runs. So, you need guys that are going to be able to defend, and you need guys that are going to be able to defend multiple positions. Look, Duke caught Georgia Tech last time earlier in the year. You said that revenge spot. They caught them off an extremely tough loss to Virginia, where Georgia Tech actually led virtually the whole game, and Virginia found a way to win by two, and the Yellow Jackets had to feel that they let that get away. And Duke was close. Georgia Tech was within the number. This is actually a tough cover because I think Duke got some foul shots late that pushed them ahead of the number when they weren't ahead of the number at all. Quick turnaround for Duke off that overtime loss to Louisville. Lean Georgia Tech here in this spot. Duke right now 11-9, 9-7. Georgia Tech also right on that bubble, but they're a little bit better in conference in terms of record, 13-8, 9-6. Georgia Tech 4 in a row. I kind of want to ride the Yellow Jackets here. I think I like them as a small choice.
I kind of think they're the better team, Wes. Yeah. And do you think that price is short because of the name Duke?
It just might be because it's kind of like everybody reads. And look, the odds makers behind the counter not just the bettors and the fans. The odds makers also know this bracketology, this Joe Lenardi or Mike DeCourcy or whoever's doing the bracketologies for the various networks. You know, last four in, first four out, next four out. They know where Duke is. So that's why I think Duke is such a small underdog here, because I think it's like, there's that conspiracy theory in all of us because Duke is such a brand name and such a blue blood where it's like, they got to make the NCAA tournament, even though I don't think, and that gets overplayed. It's like, look, the NCAA tournament ratings are not going to go down because Duke is not in the field.
Right.
It's an idiot proof event. And it's the excitement of the event and the little guy against the big guy. One team doesn't drive the ratings. It's the product that drives the ratings. And, but there is that conspiracy theory factor of Duke. They're going to find a way to put Duke in the tournament if it's borderline. But I like Georgia Tech here. I thought this price was a little bit low. I thought it'd be about three and a half.
Memphis at South Florida, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And I mentioned in the prior segment, the Tigers have won five in a row. Well, they'll need to make it six and probably then some in order to keep their NCAA tournament hopes alive. They're expected to do so here tonight in Tampa, favored by 9.5 over the Bulls of South Florida.
A professional bettor here locally who I really respect, who is long-term great in college basketball, I know he is on South Florida tonight. And I can kind of see why. But this is going to end up, I think, being a pass for me. The number, I think, just from the number standpoint, looks too high. But you are getting South Florida. And you look, usually off a bad performance, you kind of want to back a team because they get a little bit of value in the market. But South Florida, we were here Sunday on the Green Zone during that game, lost 98-52 to Houston.
Yes.
And usually when you play one of those premium, higher-end teams, certainly in the polls and then the power ratings, you get beat up a little bit. We talk about that in college football when you have, like, the week after you play a Clemson or an Ohio State or an Alabama, get a little hangover for the next game and you get physically beat up a little bit. And I wonder if that's what happened to South Florida here off that loss to Houston and having to come back with just a day in between. So number is too high, but I think I'm going to pass here. I got to wait and see. I'm going to stay out of this one.
It's moved a whole point here in just about the last half hour.
So there are some sharp guys, like the gentleman I was referring to, that do like the USF side.
The 9.5s are all gone. There are a couple of 9s out there, but basically 8.5 in favor of Memphis across the board. We turn to the NBA in the next segment. It's the Lombardi Line. Keep it here on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. VSiN, the sports betting network. We're on top of all the sports on today's schedule, as well as the future impacts of NFL trades, free agency, draft choices, everything to help you become a sharper better for every game on the board. We're not just about picks and predictions. We'll give you the analysis and the insights you need to become a smarter better on every sport. We have the best handicappers in the business, giving you the tools you need to create your own betting edge. And right now, for only $50, you can put our experts to work for you all the way through the College Hoops Finals. You get everything we offer, including our members-only daily best bet emails, point spread weekly guides with up-to-date power rankings, the upcoming bracket betting guide, and of course, all access to vsin.com. Sign up today, get everything we offer through the end of the College Hoops tournament. It's only $50. vsin.com/subscribe. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you as we turn to the NBA here and a look at tonight's card in the association, the Grizzlies and the Wizards. Washington finally lost, Wes. They came up just 1 point short at Boston on Sunday. They've still won 7 out of their last 10. Memphis buried Houston 133-84 on Sunday and have flipped as the favorite in this one. Grizz by one with a total of 236.
Yeah, 46 for Brad Beal on Sunday. Not enough to get the win, enough to get the cover for the Wizards, who, you know, have all of a sudden shown a little bit of life this year. Memphis has been pretty solid on the road, 8-5 in road games. They are certainly seeing the money here. And I think, you know, long term for the season, I think that they've been the better team. But the Wizards, I think, even despite coming off that loss, have been the hotter team. Right. So something's kind of got to give here. And with the line at like one, kind of flipping back and forth in a pick 'em, I'm not sure which way to go with it, and I don't think the market is either.
I kind of like over the total, and that would seem like the square play.
That's never a
bad
bet, though,
with
the Wizards.
Who's going to say these teams can't score? And the Grizz, 133 last time out.
Yeah, and Washington, I mean, look, very much struggled defensively, but now I think Russ and Brad Beal are kind of getting a little bit of a chemistry right now, so that is very good for the Wizards' point totals.
And with a spread of just one, maybe you get some overtime. The Hawks and the Heat, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern, and here comes Miami. Miami's now won six in a row. Atlanta just three wins in its last 10 games, and Miami's given the points here at home. Seems a little short, 3.5 and 222 for your total. Some injury news on the Heat side?
Well,
maybe?
Jimmy Butler, questionable with the knee, not officially ruled out. This is actually a rematch from what we saw on Sunday, where Atlanta came back to tie the game, and then Miami went on a 10-0 run to close and get the cover, because Atlanta did get the money on Sunday. But Atlanta decided also to make a coaching change. Lloyd Pierce is now out in Atlanta, so interim coach in. So,
you know, some guys like to play the new coach theory.
I usually do as well. And I wish I was getting a little bit more than 3.5, though. Maybe this is the I don't know if you want to say you want to wait until Jimmy Buckets is announced as playing tonight, because if he is, I think this is going to 5. If he's not, this is probably going to be 2.5. But lean here at least would be to Atlanta because of that new coach angle, because I think players, even if they don't like a coach, and I have no inside information whether they liked or didn't like Lloyd Pierce here, but players at least kind of think, man, we've been playing lousy. We got this dude fired. You know, we got to show a little bit of a pride, and that's why you see that angle is usually good long term, but I wish I was getting a little more than 3.5. That just seems small to me.
Clippers at the Celtics. Boston has won two straight, but it hasn't been easy. Now, Los Angeles comes in off of a loss at Milwaukee in a game that came down to the wire. Clippers a road favorite here in Boston, laying 4 with a total of 219.5.
You know, maybe the Clippers are kind of the value team now, as absurd as it is. And it's probably not a huge number, but obviously in the West, you know, and we talked with Jeff Stoneback at BetMGM about this on Sunday, I believe. Look, people aren't worried about the Lakers. They're still going to bet the Lakers, even with AD out. And now they do have Dennis Schroeder back, which absolutely helps their cause on both sides of the ball. But the Jazz are kind of like right now the current flavor of the month, but now the value may be being extracted out of them because they have the best spread record in the league. I think they're on pace right now, would be the best spread team in history. And the numbers have adjusted, and they're still covering these numbers. But maybe the Clippers are kind of the team that we're ignoring a little bit down the radar here. Laying 3.5, lean to their spot. They're in the primetime TNT game tonight. Celtics did win the meeting in L.A. between these two teams, but the Clippers did not have Paul George for said meeting back on February 5th. So, you know, I think and it's been adjusted up to 4. I don't like to lay a lot of road favorites, especially in the NBA, but that'd be where I'd go here is the Clippers.
I agree with you. We talk about this with JVT all the time, how the market adjusts, you know, pretty quickly in the NBA because there's games every night. And it seems like maybe it's a low spot for the Clippers off of that loss against Milwaukee.
Jaylen Brown might also be, he is questionable with the knee injury. He did not go on Sunday against the Wizards. So that is something certainly to monitor.
Knicks at the Spurs. And here's where we talk about back-to-backs. And that is the case for the San Antonio Spurs, who went to overtime on Monday night in a loss to Brooklyn. And maybe a typical back-to-back doesn't have tremendous impact, but that game last night had to tax San Antonio, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. Now, New York comes in rested off of a win at Detroit, and they were originally in the role of the underdog here. They have now flipped to the favorite. They're giving 1.5 points at San Antonio with a total of 215.
Knicks now a game above 500 for the first time really in a long time. And going to the road, first game of this road trip against San Antonio. Actually, it's a very short road trip, just one game, and then they go back to the Garden on Thursday. But nevertheless, you know, the Knicks are playing with a little bit of confidence, and I think what you said about the Spurs, because I watched the end of the game last night, they had to come back. Brooklyn did extend that lead to about 9 was a few minutes ago. Spurs come back to get within the number. Kyrie Irving, inexplicably, with the Spurs having to foul and trying to foul but not getting it done, Kyrie Irving drives to the basket for a layup, misses it. Rebound goes to the Spurs, Devontae Murray. He gets kind of knocked off his run down there as he's scrambling to shoot, loses the ball, recovers it, shoots it, hits a winner, or not a winner, the game-tying basket at the buzzer. But then we know overtime is where underdogs go to perish, Brady, and that's certainly what the Spurs did last night against the Nets. So, you know, Knicks only laying 1 here. I think that's a tough ask for the Spurs. And I do think back-to-back spots tend to get overpriced. I know JVT talks about that here on VSiN all the time. I don't know if that's such the case in this particular spot. I like the Knicks.
I'd love to have the Knicks in the role of the underdog. I hate to necessarily back them
because
as a road
it
favorite.
Is a role that they're not used to. Yep. As a favorite. Right,
and we've
now
seen them go down as a road favorite recently. They've been on a nice run. They've been playing great basketball, but they get into that role of the road favorite, and it hasn't worked so well. Now, I believe it was the last time out. I think it was at Detroit. Their mm-hmm. last win, they were a road favorite in that one, too. We'll get to the Suns and the Lakers here. A good game to cap off the NBA card out west at Staples Center. We'll see if Will Hill has a play in the NBA as well, as he will join us next. He's been on a nice run on the Lombardi line. Will Hill joins the program here in the next segment on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcomes you to Showtime with a chance to win $100 for a $1 wager on the Lakers-Suns game. Just use the bonus code VSIN100 and you're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use the promo code VSIN100 to win $100 for a $1 bet on either team to hit a three-pointer. It's a new customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Only. It excludes Michigan dissociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, 800-889-9789. And in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you. And it's time now to join our friend Will Hill. He's a frequent contributor here on the program. Also writes for Point Spread Weekly. And Will, you've been on a nice run here inside the Lombardi line. And tonight, I guess you're looking at the Suns-Lakers game. This is a game Wes and I had just touched on. A nice one to cap off the Tuesday card in the NBA.
Yeah, it's been a good run. I have an issue with Wes right now. I messaged him on Twitter asking him for some sleepers for the Golden Globes. He neglected to tell me that 50-1 Jody Foster wasn't going to come through. So why he withheld that information, we'll have to figure that out. I would have appreciated that information Sunday, but
my sleepers were only like 3 or 5 to 1. I didn't think we were going to get 75-1s and 50-1s, but that's kind of what
you get. I didn't see the 71.
He's been holding out on the wrestling information from me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, that's what you get at the Golden Globes. Very unpredictable. And I was talking about that with Gil on Monday on a numbers game, is that now that we're going to get into award season, the Oscar noms, by the way, are out in 2 weeks. Once you get to the Critics' Choice and the SAGs and the BAFTAs, that's going to get beat into place. Oscar's usually more chalky, but yeah, I missed the boat on these long shots for the Golden Globes.
I don't know how you do it all. I mean, you're like a baseball player that plays all 9 positions. You get Golden Globes, you know, NASCAR, wrestling.
I'm trying to be Leak here at VSiN and go over and run across from people and catch the ball in the outfield.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to give him these results later, BK, because he's not going to be watching any of these games. He's going to be all over Indiana, Michigan State. He's going to be bunkered down at that bubble game.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't have his Hoosier gear on tonight.
Yeah, it should be a good one.
I'm a little embarrassed to wear it right now.
Yeah.
I like the Wizards here. I've been riding them. I think the lines with them are a little skewed because they were just
now,
so
Will,
bad.
You're off topic here. You're off topic. I asked you about the Suns and the Lakers. You went down.
My fault, Will. I need to shut up and let you go.
It's all good. No, we're all over the place. Yeah, give me the Suns here. You know, I just think without Davis, the minutes LeBron doesn't play are going to be so hard for them. It's hard for them to score. I know they played really well the other night and helped Golden State down, but they've kind of been up and down without Davis here. I like this Suns team. I just think, you know, Booker, Paul, Bridges, it's a really good team, under the radar team, and they're not at their point in the development where they're going to take a night off or overlook anybody. So they play pretty hard every night. I think Paul brings a competitiveness to the team. So I'm going to take the Suns here.
Okay, back to the Wizards, Will, and Brady and I were talking about that game early on, and that is the Wizards against the Grizzlies. I didn't know necessarily where to go here. Grizzlies now the one-point favorite. Still some pick 'em in the market. Washington, look, broke the winning streak on Sunday, but did cover very close loss to Boston, and you're a believer in the Wiz that maybe they've turned that around here.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe if you watched that game the other night, it's hard to believe they gave that game away. I mean, that was just there were some choke jobs Sunday night between the Kings and the Wizards. But you know, I just think their numbers are skewed because they were so bad early in the year. I think they were 5-17 at one point, and they've won 7 out of 10, should have been 8 out of 10 the other night. And usually when you get splits like that, it's because you're beating up on the bad teams when you look good and you're losing to the good teams, you know, when you look bad. But it's been the other way around. You know, they've really struggled against the soft part of their schedule, which was weird. And in this recent run, they beat some good teams. You know, they swept Denver. They beat the Lakers in L.A. You know, they beat the Celtics once, should have beat them twice. You know, I don't know if we could even call the Celtics a good team at this point, but they've kind of morphed into the team we expected them to be early in the year, which was, you know, not a contender, but a solid playoff team. So I'm going to take the Wizards here. I think they're playing pretty well, and they're going to have some hunger to them to get back into the mix for the playoffs.
Will, I know sometimes you almost autoplay over the total on Wizards and Nets games. What about the total in this one with Memphis?
Yeah, I mean, my rule just for the NBA has become it's either over or pass. I think it was Sunday where there was, you know, 7 or 8 games and they all went over. So like we talked about last week, man, you got to have a tough stomach to bet some of these unders. They are no fun and they don't seem to be winning. You know, I don't know what the percentage split is on the year, but it feels like roughly 97-3 in terms of over-unders here. It's just crazy. So for me, it would be over or pass.
Dave Tooley on Twitter, at View From Vegas, can have those totals for you. He tweets it out every night, I believe, after the action is finished. I want to go back to the Clippers and Boston. You mentioned Boston, maybe just not a good team, and I'm kind of seeing that as well. I've watched their last few games, and I'm not all that impressed. Now, Jaylen Brown may not be in the lineup tonight, but we talk about this with JVT, how the market adjusts so quickly in the NBA. They have to because they play every night. And the Clippers, I'm thinking this price may be dumbed down a little bit off of that loss to Milwaukee. 4 looks a little short here to me, Will.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I just think there's a really wide gap here in terms of the talent. You know, Kawhi and Paul George just alone is better than anything Boston's going to throw out there. You know, coming off a tough loss against Milwaukee where they just couldn't throw it in the ocean the last few minutes. If they don't win it all, and they could win it all, I don't know if I'd pick them, but their undoing is going to be point guard play. They kind of have a tough time settling into their offense, but I think they're much better than Boston. Boston has won 2 in a row, so you know there's not that desperation here that would make me fear them had they lost a couple in a row here. So I'm going to take the Clippers. I just think there's a huge gap in talent. And look, if you're the Celtics, I mean, you let Kyrie walk, you don't get anything back. Okay, he was a problem in the locker room. You know, Horford, all right, he's got too much money, we'll let him go. Hayward, he was all right. He was hurt all the time, we'll let him go. I mean, sooner or later, you look and you let these guys go and you got nothing back. Even Terry Rozier, and you know, it's tough in the NBA when you lose assets for nothing. It's a talent league, it's an asset league. And you know, things have kind of dried up for Boston. You know, 3 or 4 years ago, one of the better young teams in the league with all these draft picks, the Nets picks, the Grizzlies picks, and it's kind of dried up for them there in Boston. It's kind of an average team.
Will, the New York Knicks are now over 500 at 18-17 on the year, first time in a long time. Saw a video clip on Twitter about the limited fans that were in the Garden were celebrating like they clinched a playoff spot or something. It's been some lean years near there in Madison Square Garden, but now they're laying against the Spurs tonight. Spurs on that back-to-back, came back in that frenetic finish to tie it and send it to overtime against the Nets, and now have to, and then eventually lost. So I kind of like what you're thinking here. I think you're on the Knicks in this spot.
Yeah, that's a tough one. If you had the 4.5 or whatever with the Spurs last night, because that was a wild sequence to get that overtime. I mean, that, you know, the Nets come up with the ball, or that ball rims out, you're cashing your 4.5, and next thing you know, you're getting blown out in overtime. I like the Knicks here. I mean, I think they play hard. They play well on defense. They're not a very good shooting team, but to me, this is just a great job by Thibodeau for what the lack of talent they have to be over 500 is really impressive. And I'm looking to play against the Spurs tonight and pretty much going forward. I think their numbers, their winning record's a little misleading. They've had a soft schedule. They've had a lot of close wins. You know, the point differential is not very favorable to them going forward. And they've had a lot of home games. So their home road splits, you know, kind of skew their record where I think you're looking at some regression here in the second half versus the Spurs. So I'm going to take the Knicks. I don't know if I'd put them with the 98 Bulls yet, but I'm in Connecticut here in the Northeast. It's like, you know, anything the Nets could do, the Nets could go 82-0 and win it all. Nobody cares about the Nets. It is all about the Knicks in New York City, man. I would compare it to Yankees Mets. It's really not, it's more like Yankees in like the Brooklyn Cyclones compared to interest. It's just that New York is a Knicks town, man. They love their Knicks.
Well, a reason to be excited right now. I think it's fun to see, and I think it's great for the NBA when the Knicks are competitive. All those young kids really starting to play for Tom Thibodeau. Let's switch it up here, my man. I know you want to talk a little baseball. We'll see if we can get a golf pick out of you as well. We've got long shots coming up a little later this evening on VSiN, but we'll start on the diamonds, and you talk about the Yankees. You're going to go to their biggest rival, the Red Sox. You're thinking it's a buy low spot on Boston this year.
It is. I'm kind of sad. I mean, I had so much fun last summer betting against them. I mean, that pitching staff they threw together was really like a triple-A pitching staff. They just had no pitching to speak of. But they get Sale back. They get Rodriguez back. They add Garrett Richards, who's a serviceable major league arm, who ironically got hurt at Fenway, which kind of derailed his career for a while, you know, 5-6 years ago. They had Colin McHugh, who had a really good ERA a couple years ago. So they're going to at least have a professional pitching staff here. The number's pretty low, around 79.5, 79, something like that. And they still hit well enough. I mean, Martinez had a bad year last year, but you put Martinez with Devers, Chavis, you know, Verdugo, some of the guys they got back for Mookie Betts. I'm sure Jeter Downs will be up at some point. It's a respectable team. I don't know if it's a good team, but I think, you know, best case scenario, they can compete for a wild card spot. So I think they'll bounce back and at least be competitive, you know, after what was just an embarrassing season last year for Boston.
Will, continuing the Florida swing, we are in Orlando this week for the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill, just a week before the Players' Championship. So good quality at the top of the field, but not as deep of a field as we've seen the last couple weeks. Anybody standing out to you down here in Orlando this week?
We get a little weird. What do you guys think of Cameron Tringali here? You know, good iron play at a play.
He's having a great season. I mean, you look at his numbers, right?
Yeah, I mean, you'd think a weaker field, he's never won before. Maybe this is a field that he can break through against. I mean, he's really hitting the ball well. So, you know, as I always say, listen to long shots, read Point Spread Weekly, maybe play some of those matchups for profit. But if you're looking for a lotto ticket, I like Cameron Tringali here at a long shot.
Tringali, 85-1. I did not play him, but Tringali did come across when I'm looking at key stats because it varies from week to week, course to course. And he stood out a lot on those strokes gained approach and the scrambling. So he did stand out. You know, you could get a big price here with kind of some lukewarm favorites at the top.
Yeah, I took a hard look at him, Will. I think he's in the neighborhood of 80-1. You might even be able to find juicier than that, but I don't think it's a bad pick at all. He didn't quite make my card yet anyway. I might look at him for a top 20 or something like that. Are you playing some of the top 20s and top 10s as well, Will?
I pick and choose, you know, I dabble, like you guys say, some of the matchups, the top 10s, top 20s, that's more of the, you know, where you can really play, get some profit and, you know, higher percentage bets. And like you said, the long shots with Tringali and some of these guys. So as always, check out Point Spread Weekly, VSiN.com/subscribe. Long shots, it's a great time of the year for it, you know, with conference tournaments coming up in NCAA. So VSiN.com/subscribe. Thank you guys for having me.
Wes afterwards and make sure he sends you that Golden Globe stuff.
Jody Foster, come on, man. I could have used Jody Foster.
We'll get you some Grammy information here, Will, in a couple weeks.
Appreciate it, Wes. Good luck to the Hoosiers.
Thank you.
Talk in hour number two. Keep it here on VSiN.